good morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll get you out of the dark in a minute. And into the light. Praise Jesus. You know, I really do pray that this morning the word would come alive to you. That it wouldn't just be words bouncing, echoing in your ears, but that it would be alive to you this morning. And so 1 Peter is where we'll pick up this morning where we left off. And I think God has some things for us to really consider this morning that would make a difference if we'll allow it. Peter writes in verse 13, "Therefore, gird up your loins, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And he uses the word gird up the loins of your mind. It means to keep your mind guarded, protected. Keep your mind guarded. Be spiritually alert. When he says be sober, he's meaning to be spiritually alert. Peter's using these words not in the physical, but in the spiritual sense. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ, who was revealed in the flesh, became man, manifested among us. And our hope is to be fully in Jesus, not in this world, not in the things of the world, but fully, our hope fully on Jesus, not a little bit of hope in him. Peter said, fully. Your hope needs to be fully in him. In other words, there's nothing else that your hope is in. There's nothing else that you're dependent on. You just depend on him. Doesn't matter what the circumstance, what the situation is. Doesn't matter how good, how bad, how whatever is happening. Completely hoping in him. Verse 14, as obedient children, he says, do this as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Obedient, as obedient children, obedient. Obedience takes discipline. Obedience is not something that we just get by osmosis or we get by just coming to church and being in the atmosphere or being in the building. Obedience takes discipline. It takes discipline of our hearts and our minds and our bodies. It takes transformation every day. Transformation. Romans 12:2 is very explicit. Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? So that you may prove, in other words, that you will know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that perfect, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is that transformation, sanctification, growing in him, maturing in Christ every day. That's his will for us. That's his will for every believer. In fact, 1 Peter 4:2 says that, well, it won't be on the screen, but I'm going to start in verse 1. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." For the will of God. You see, we need to stop living in the flesh. We need to stop living for the flesh, for the desires of the flesh, and we need to be the rest of the time that we have here is living for the will of God. Amen. Living for the will of God. Again, that takes discipline. It takes desire. It takes a passion to want to do that. You can't just open your Bible and read and it's automatically just going to make you different. There has to be something in you that's seeking the Lord and desiring Him. And desiring Him to be not only in you, but to be moving through you and changing you. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now, this is something that I've heard a lot of people over time struggle with, the scripture, be holy. Well, God's the only one that's holy. God is holy. God's the holiest of holies. But He also tells us to be holy. He says, just as He who called you is holy, God is holy, He says, you also be holy in all your conduct. What does that look like? What does that mean? Be holy in your conduct. People get the idea that means you've got to be perfect. That's not what He's saying. Holy, being holy in your conduct, being holy as God is holy, being righteous, desiring His desire in your life, desiring His life to be your life. That's what being holy is. It's that discipline of no longer living for my will, but living for His will. That's part of being holy. And He's very explicit about this. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word perfecting means completing their holiness in the fear of God. So you see, when He says, be holy as God is holy, we got some cleaning to do. We got some cleaning out to do. We have cleansing to do. And that cleansing is done by Him as we submit ourselves to Him, as we desire to be holy, as He is holy, as we desire His life to be our life, that's where the cleansing comes from. It's from the discipline and the obedience to His Word and His Spirit working and moving in your life. That's being holy. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy as I am holy. Do you know that's what's written in the Bible? God said, be holy as I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping things that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You see, He's very clear. So if you think, well, that's an unreasonable request. No, it's not. It's a very clear call on your life and on our lives. In fact, in Leviticus 20, verse 7, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate. The word consecrate means to be set apart for the Lord. And so if you want to be holy, you desire to be holy, every day we have to be setting ourselves apart for God. Well, what do you mean apart from what, Pastor? Apart from the world, for one thing. Apart from the things of the world, the lust of the world, the desires of the world. And really the world and the flesh are the same. And so if you want to be holy, you have to set yourself apart from the flesh. You have to allow Him to slay the desires of the flesh, to die to self, to die to my will, my desires that are contrary to Him and His desires. So yes, being holy is a reasonable thing that God desires and calls us to be. Over and over, these words are calling us to, He says, be holy for I am holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Set yourself apart. Set yourself apart from the things that keep you from Him. And there are many. There are many. There are many. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work. You know, God is not partial. We talked about last week. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. God is not partial. He calls on, He speaks to, He desires everyone to come to Him through Jesus Christ. He's not partial. He doesn't care if you're male or female. He doesn't care if you're black, white, green, purple, yellow, red. He doesn't care. He's not partial. He calls everyone. He reaches to everyone. He judges everyone. He's not partial. Doesn't matter what your economical standing is. Doesn't matter what your family heritage is. He looks at you for you. He looks at you for you. And who you are and who He wants you to be. It's interesting. It says here, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, meaning respect for Him, but your stay here. Think about that. He's talking about your time here on earth. Your time here. Do you realize all of us? You know, we think about all this we've heard over the years and about illegal aliens and border crossings and all that. Do you know that every one of us, if you're a Christian, you're a resident alien? This is not your home. This is not your home. You're just passing through. So if you're a Christian, you're a resident alien of this earth. Think about that. An alien means you don't belong here. Your home is not here. Our home is in heaven. That's where our hope is. That's where our destination is as believers. As believers. This is not your home. And you know, we are just passing through. And we don't know how long our stay is here. No one knows how long their stay is here. Verse 18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You know, you're not redeemed by corruptible things. The word corruptible there means perishable, temporary things. You're not redeemed by how good you are, how nice a person you are, how many scriptures you memorize, how many things you do for the church, how many places you serve. You're not redeemed by that. Those are good, those are well things, but those things as he called corruptible, they're perishable. They don't last. They don't last. We're not redeemed by that. We're not redeemed by silver and gold, by our money, or by what we accomplish in our career, or how many good things we do. That does not redeem you. And many times he says that you received by fathers the tradition from your fathers. Tradition. The word traditionary. You know, tradition can be very good. And tradition can be very bad, because tradition oftentimes can get people stuck. Because when God wants to do something different in the church, people say, well, we've never done it like that before. It's tradition. That's when it's not a good thing. Well, why don't we do this? Because we always used to do it this way or that way. God is not in a box. God is not in a rut. He doesn't do the same thing the same way every time, every day. He does things His way, and His way is beyond tradition. His way is beyond our mind, our thinking, our thoughts. And so when we get bound up in tradition, we're missing something. And if we're not careful, we'll miss God. We'll miss what He's doing or what He wants to do. And it might be in your life personally, not just in the church corporately. Verse 19. But with the... I'm going to back up to 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, perishable things, things of the world. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish. The precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. You know, I wonder sometimes, we talk about the blood. We sing about the blood. Do we really realize what that means? The precious blood of Jesus. Acts 20:28 says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's speaking to pastors and leaders. To shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. The word purchase means bought and paid for. He purchased this church with His blood. And I wonder if we really realize this, what that means. Can we really picture it? Well, I want to give you a glimpse that maybe help you. Watch this clip for just a second. I want you, and think about when He says He purchased the church with His own blood. Think about the precious blood of Jesus and what that really looked like when He purchased the church. Okay. Now, when you hear or you read the precious blood of Christ, picture that. Picture that, because that's what it looks like. That's what it looked like. So we shouldn't take lightly our redemption by the precious blood of Christ. Because it was a very precious blood. His blood is very precious. His blood redeems us from our sin, from our sin nature, from our corruptible life. He purchased you and he purchased me with his precious blood. Verse 20, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, meaning revealed in these last times. He was revealed. Jesus came, was born of a virgin, became man in the flesh. He was revealed to mankind. He was revealed even ahead of time, foreordained through the prophets, through the word. But he was manifested, made manifest, became flesh in these last times. You see, even then when this was written, when Peter was writing this, he used the word last times. We're in the last times. We're in the last times. That's why Peter is encouraging us with the time we have left. We need to be about him. Amen. We need to be about him. Manifest in these last times for you. You see those words? Can we put verse 20 back up again? See the last words of that verse? For you. For you. What you saw in that video clip is for you. He did it for you. Now, you may be sitting here today and you've never received it by faith. You've never put your faith in him and received him as your Savior. He still did it for you. And he's waiting for you to come to him. He's waiting for you to let go of self and to take hold of him. Verse 21. Who through him, Jesus, he was made manifest these last times for you who through him believe in God. You see, many people say, well, I believe in God, and they're not a Christian. Why do you say that, Pastor, if they believe in God? Well, Satan believes in God. All his mentioned demons believe in God. You see, he says, look at the verse. Through him, through Jesus, you believe in God. Your belief, your faith in God is only through Jesus. It comes through Jesus, through faith in him. And that's your connection with God. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. It's only through your faith in Jesus Christ that you connect with God and that you truly know God. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead. God, the Holy Spirit of God, raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. What you saw in that clip was so that you your faith and your hope could be in him, in God. That's why he did that. That's why he did that. So I want to ask you this morning, when you think about your faith, what is your faith in? Is it in silver and gold? Is it in your bank account? Is it in your job, your career? Is it in some person? Is it in the things of the world? What is your faith in today as you sit here? You see, we can be a Christian, a born-again Christian, and still our faith can be in other things. When you're facing difficulty, when you're facing challenges, maybe when you're even facing death, what is your faith in? Is your faith in just in doctors? Doctors are wonderful. They do wonderful things. But is that where your faith is in them? Is your faith in medicine alone? What is your faith in? Is it Peter's saying our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. Our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. What is your hope in? God gave him glory so that your faith and your hope are in God. What are you hoping in? You're hoping in retirement? A better life? Don't get me wrong, it's great to have goals in life and to try to accomplish and achieve things and better yourself. But what are you really hoping for? Who are you hoping in? What are you hoping in? You see, those are the questions for us today. Because the world offers us a plethora of things to hope in and to hope for. And not all of them are bad. But anything that takes our hope and our faith away from Jesus Christ is not of God. It's not ordained of God. It's not ordained for God or by God. Who is your hope in this morning? Worship team, would you come? Who is your hope in this morning? I want you to think about that. Let's pray. Who is your hope in this morning? What is your hope in? You see, we can sit in church. We can say, Jesus, our hope is in God. We can sing those songs that our hope is in Him. But what does it look like when you leave here and you get out of this comfortable environment, and you get back out there in the world where life gets really real? What are you hoping in? What are you hoping in? What is your faith in? Is it the things that the world produces and offers? Or is it just in Him? As you're praying this morning, I want you to ask yourself that. Lord, is my hope, as Peter said, fully in You? Are You the only one I'm depending on? In my heart of hearts. Do I trust You completely? Do I trust You with everything about me? If you're sitting here this morning and your hope is not in Christ, because you see, the only way for our hope to be in Christ is for us to let go of our will, to recognize our need for a Savior, to repent of our sin, to turn to Him, to ask Him to forgive you, to truly repent of your sin, to choose to turn away from it, and then to ask Him to forgive you. And then faith comes in. By faith, receive that forgiveness and that love, that cleansing, that transformation that takes place when your faith is truly placed in Him. Do it this morning. If you've never done that, do it this morning. Remember, we're just passing through and we don't know how long our stay is here. I may not be here tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. Lord, help us. Help us. To have faith and hope in only You and You alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.